بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن أبي يحيى وقيل أبي محمد سهل بن أبي حسمة الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: انطلق عبد الله بن سهل ومحيصة بن مسعود إلى خيبر وهي يومئذ سلح فتفرقا، فأتى محيصة إلى عبد الله بن سهل وهو يتشحط في دمه قتيلا فدفنه، ثم قدم المدينة فانطلق عبد الرحمن بن سهل المحيص وحويس ابن مسعود إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فذهب عبد الرحمن يتكلم فقال: كبر كبر، وهو أحدث القوم، فسكت فتكلم فقال: أتحلفون وتستحقون قاتلكم؟ وذكر تمام الحديث متفق عليه. وقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: كبر كبر، معناه يتكلم الأكبر. أبو يحيى أنسمسي أبو محمد سهل بن أبي حسمة الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه says that Abdullah bin Sahl and Muhayyisa bin Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنهما, both these Sahaba, they went to Khaybar at a time when there was peace. Remember, Khaybar was conquered by the Muslims after the Jews were hiding in the fortresses in Khaybar. Then they were defeated, and then there was agreement made between the Muslims and the Jews. So it was a time when there was peace between the Muslims and the Jews. It was at that time when these people went, these two Sahaba went there. When they went there, فَتَفَرَّقَا, each went their own way. So Muhayyisa and Abdullah bin Sahal and Muhayyisa, these two Sahaba, they went to Khaybar, then each parted in his own way, they had some work. فَأَتَى مُحَيِّسَ إِلَىٰ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ سَهْلٍ. After some time, Muhayyisa, the one Sahabi رضي الله تعالى, comes to the other Sahabi, his companion with who he went, Abdullah bin Sahal, in the condition that Abdullah bin Sahal رضي الله تعالى was killed and he was drenched in blood. So he finds his companion killed and he was drenched in blood. Obviously it is a shock to him. Nonetheless, فَدَفَنَهُ, he buried him. Then he comes to Medina. So both went their own way. Muhayyisa, he survives, he goes and he sees Abdullah bin Sahal now is killed. So Muhayyisa radiallahu ta'ala now comes to Medina. He tells the others that, so فَانْتَلَقَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ Ibn Sahl, Abdurrahman, Ibn Sahl, and Muhayyisa with his brother Huwayyisa. So Muhayyisa and Huwayyisa are both the sons of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. The three of them now, they go to report this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa. And when they go, Abdurrahman, perhaps he was more eloquent, so he began to speak and relate the incident to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa. Although he was not present there. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw three of them, and he realized that this one is the youngest. So he said, Kabbir, Kabbir. That the eldest one, he should speak. So immediately Abdurrahman radiallahu ta'ala became silent, and the other two then, they were the elder, then they spoke. Fatakallama. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Atahlifun, would you take an oath? Watastahiquna qatilakum, and you will be then worthy of your killer. You will know who your killer is. And then he mentioned the entire hadith. Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has brought this in this particular chapter. If you recall, this chapter was talking or mentioning about respecting, honoring the scholars, the elders, and the people of goodness, and giving them preference over others, and elevating their seating places, and acknowledging their status. So in this hadith, Rasulullah SAW said, the elders, the elder one, he should speak, not the younger one. So this is an adab that we learn. If a person is narrating some incident in the whole group of you, and the eldest one, he should be speaking, not the younger one. The younger one should respect the presence of the elder one. Many times you find the young one, he begins to speak. This is not the correct adab and etiquette. The elder one, he should be given preference to speak first. We should have to honor his status, honor his position. So Rasulullah said, Kabbir, Kabbir. And this entire incident then is in the books of fiqh, it is called Qasama. When a person is found, a Muslim body is found, in a mahalla, in a village, in an area, and he's found dead, and did not know who the killer is, then 50 people of that area, obviously the Islamic governor, he will choose 50 people from that area, and then they will take a promise that they did not kill this man, nor do they know exactly who the person, who the killer is. After 50 people take a qasam, then that entire village, it becomes incumbent upon them to give the blood money to the family of the one who was killed. This is called qasama, and this is what Rasulullah ﷺ was referring to. Yes, the a'imma of fiqh, they have a difference of opinion in the manner of how this yameen, how this oath is taken, etc. But in essence, in any mahalla, according to the Hanafi books of jurisprudence, in an Islamic country, the Islamic ruler there, he will choose 50 people of that area, and they will take a qasam that they do not kill the person, nor do they know who has killed the person. And after that, they will be liable of giving the blood money to the family of the person who was killed. وعن جابر رضي الله تعالى أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يجمع بين الرجلين من قتلى أحد يعني في القبر ثم يقول أيهما أكثر أخذا للقرآن فإذا أشير له إلى أحدهما قدمه في اللحد رواه البخاري. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم would place two Sahaba in one قبر from when he went to Uhud, when for the martyrs of Uhud. Remember in Uhud, the Sahaba who were martyred became shaheed. Rasulullah performed the janazah salah. And then as they were being buried, he would place two Sahaba in a single grave. Then Rasulullah, as before they were placing the Sahaba down, before they were lowering the body of each of these two Sahaba, he would say, أَيُّهُمَا أَكْثَرُ أَخْذًا لِلْقُرْآنِ. Of the two, which one memorized more Qur'an? In other words, who was the hafiz of the Qur'an? Who had learned more surahs? We will give him preference first and then lower his body first. فَإِذَا أُشِيرَ لَهُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِهِمَا. When it was pointed out to him, then he would place him into the grave first. Of course, so again here from this hadith, we understand that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave preference to those people who learned the Qur'an by heart. And this is what we do also, a hafiz of the Qur'an, we give him preference over non-hafiz of the Qur'an because he's got in his heart the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أراني في المنام أتسوق بسواك. وسلم said, I saw myself in a dream and I was making miswak. أتسوق بسواك. فجاءني رجلان, two men come to me, أحدهما أكبر من الآخر, one was older than the other. So when they came and both required to make miswak, فناولت السواك الأصغر, so I gave the miswak to the younger of the two. This is in the dream. فَقِيلَ لِي, it was told to me in the dream, كَبِّرْ, give it to the older person. فَدَفَعْتُهُ إِلَى الْأَكْبَرْ مِنْهُمَا رَوَاهُ مُسْلِمْ مُسْنَدًا وَالْبُخَارِي تَعْلِيقًا. So he said, I gave it to the elder of the two. Again, in this hadith we understand the older people in the community, in the masjid, at home, everywhere, should be given preference when they are presented with anything. If you're giving any person something, then give it to the elderly first. They should be given preference, even when you're walking also. Let them walk in front. The younger ones, out of a mark of respect, should walk behind the senior ones, and behind those who are people of honor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. These are simple things, but sometimes we become negligent of these things. Always give the elder person preference over the young person. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.